Well, it is good to see everyone here this morning, and we're glad that you're with us today, and we invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 is where we're going to be having our study this morning. And in Revelation chapter 1, we are introduced to Jesus. Now, we have been studying in the book of Revelation for some time now, and it occurred to me just a couple of weeks ago that we hadn't covered Revelation chapter 1 yet. Now, we have looked at chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way through, I think, 9 or 10 or 11. I don't know. But we'll continue in that study as time goes on. But I thought, well, let's back up a little bit and let's look at the message in Revelation chapter 1. Because really, this is what the book of Revelation is all about. It's really all about Jesus and His victory over all of the evil that Satan has brought into this world. And the fact that through Jesus, that Christians can overcome everything that Satan is bringing against them. But when we think about Jesus and who He is, I know of no better chapter than Revelation 1 to help us to understand who Jesus is. Now, maybe up on the screen behind you can see the Greek letters Alpha and Omega. And that's because these letters are used to describe who Jesus is in this chapter. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. These Greek letters, of course, are the beginning letters of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And the meaning of these two letters together is to show that Jesus is, in fact, divine, that He is God. In Isaiah 44 and verse 6, Isaiah 44 and verse 6, we read these words, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts." Now listen to that expression for just a minute, because this is critical to understanding that this verse in Isaiah 44 and verse 6 is a description of who God is. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel," and this word for Lord here is the word, Hebrew word, Yahweh, which is the name of God that God reveals to Moses on Mount Sinai. All right? This is really important here. This is a great verse to think about. "Thus says the Lord, Yahweh, the King of Israel." Now notice this. "And His Redeemer." Notice the third person singular possessive pronoun, His, here. Whose Redeemer is this? This is the Lord, the King of Israel's Redeemer. But who is the Lord, the King of Israel's Redeemer? He is the Lord of hosts. And the word Lord there is also the word Yahweh. Now that is interesting, isn't it? Because here you have two persons of the Godhead being discussed in the same verse. The Lord, the King of Israel, His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh. And they're both Yahweh, you see? And what does it say about the Lord of hosts? Quote, "I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God." And that word God is the word Elohim in the Hebrew language, which has reference to God Almighty. And so in this passage, what Isaiah is writing about here, he is quoting the words of the Lord. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts." Who is He? He is the first and He is the last. And besides Him, there is no God. And why is that important in a study of Revelation 1? Because in Revelation 1, Jesus says of Himself, "I am the first and the last." And that is a direct quote from Isaiah 44 and verse 6. It is a claim then for Jesus' divinity is what it is. And for Jesus to be the Alpha and the Omega means that He is divine. But this morning we want to look at some of the roles that Jesus takes and how those roles are presented here in Revelation 1. So I hope you have your Bibles open to Revelation 1 as we study Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. And we're going to see, number one, that Jesus is the Revelator. He reveals the Word of God. We're going to see that. Number two, Jesus is the Uniter. He unites. He unites God and man. He unites us together in one body. He unites us with God. He is the Uniter. Number three, He is the Motivator. And the picture that we see presented of Jesus in this chapter is one of motivation. And it should encourage us to do the will of Christ within our life. And then fourth, He is the Initiator. He gets things started for us so that we can make the appropriate changes that we need to make within our life. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega. First of all, when we think of Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, we see that He is the Revelator. He has revealed the Word of God to us. Look at Revelation 1 and verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, things which must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. What a wonderful statement this is in the beginning of the book of Revelation. Notice it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the revelator. But God is the one who gave him this revelation. And then Jesus gives this revelation to the apostle John so that John may write it down so that we then can read it. Do you see how that works? That's how inspired scripture works. God gives the revelation and then Jesus Christ gives it to one of his servants. And then the servant writes it down so that we then can read it. The only person of the Godhead that isn't mentioned here is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the seven spirits of God that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. But nevertheless, when we think about this process of revelation, it means that all of the words in the Bible are words of Jesus. You know, sometimes people get into their minds that, well, only those words in red, those are the only ones that I'm really going to pay attention to because those are the only ones that belong to Jesus. That is a false conception. The fact of the matter is that all of the words in the Bible belong to Jesus. Jesus gave every single one of them. And why is that? Because he was involved in the revelation of all God's Word. Now look at John 14 and verse 26 for just a moment. John 14 and verse 26. Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." So the process then is this. The Holy Spirit, the Father sends in the Son's name. Do you see that? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in revealing the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit then gives the Word specifically to the servant of God that is going to then either speak them or write them down. But He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I, that is Jesus Christ, said to you. John 16 and verse 13 says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Now, we just talked about in John 14:26 what the Holy Spirit hears. He hears what Jesus reveals. And so as the Holy Spirit reveals the message of the gospel to the apostles and prophets, those are the words of Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit does not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He speaks. Now that's exactly what happens here in the book of Revelation. Jesus received the message from God the Father. He then sent it to His servant John by means of the Holy Spirit. And now we have the opportunity to learn and grow from it. How? By reading. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Why? Because they are God's words. The words of the Father, the words of the Son, and the words of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega because He is the Revelator. But Jesus is also the Uniter. He is the Uniter. Look at verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Let's consider verses 4 through 8 for just a moment. First of all, let's look at the works of Jesus in these verses. We see this greeting in verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him. Now notice this, it's from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. Now, when you think about the Godhead, if you think about who is and who was and who is to come, you probably think about the Father here. All right? And from the seven spirits who are before His throne, the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And there's Jesus Christ right there. Now it's Jesus that John is focusing on in this passage. But we're going to see that Jesus is also identified as God as we get further into the text. But notice that Jesus is the faithful witness. He is the faithful witness. He is the firstborn from the dead. He is the ruler over the kings of the earth. He is the one who loved us, washed us from our sins in His own blood. He has made us to be kings and priests to His God and Father. And to Him is glory and dominion forever. Notice all of these things, the work of Jesus. And what does that work do? What does it accomplish? It brings us all together. It brings the Father together with humanity. It brings humanity together with the Father and with Jesus. Jesus is the one who bridges the gap, so to speak. He is both God and man. And because He is God and man, He can be that faithful high priest, that intermediary between God and man. But He also brings man together with man. How does He do that? By washing us of our sins and forgiving us. He brings the rulers of the world together under His authority as kings and priests who are submitting to Him. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus brings everything together is basically what this is talking about here. Well, what about the future of Jesus Christ? Notice it says in verse 7 that He is coming with the clouds, that every eye will see Him. And they who pierced Him will see Him. And every tribe of the earth will mourn because of Him. And what do we see about the identity of Jesus Christ here? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And notice that expression, that he is and he was and he is to come here in verse 8 is the same expression as was used of the Father in verse 4. And why is that? Because as the Father is God, so Jesus is also God. And that is being presented to us here in Revelation 1. Now all of these truths focus on the central truth that Jesus is the uniter. He unites God and man in His person. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." He's high priest because He's both God and man. He is able to be the perfect intermediary between God and man. Notice that He is the one who unites the rulers of the earth under His kingship. Revelation 17 and verse 14 says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful." He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He unites under His authority. But then also He unites those who are washed in His blood. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And Jesus can do all of these things because of who He is. He is God in the flesh. And that gives Him the authority, it gives Him the ability, and it makes it so that He is then the uniter. Jesus is the revelator. Jesus is the uniter. Jesus is the motivator. Let's look at verses 9 through 16. 9 through 16. "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, 'I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as it's refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength." Jesus Christ is the motivator. John says that he was on this island of Patmos, and it was for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and there's the Holy Spirit, you see, at work in John's life. And he heard a loud voice, and it was the voice of Jesus. And Jesus said these things: "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last." Secondly, he said, "Write what you see in a book." Third, he said, "Send it to the seven churches of Asia." Jesus is the motivator. He's motivating John now to do a great work in writing this book of Revelation that we have before us. And so John turned around and he saw some things. He saw Jesus. You see, the voice of Jesus motivates, and the person of Jesus motivates as well. John saw those seven golden lampstands, and then he saw in the middle of the lampstands one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, and his hair was white like wool and snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass that had been refined. His voice was like the sound of many waters. He had seven stars in his right hand. He had a sword coming out of his mouth, and his face was shining like the sun. Now, do you think if you saw a person like that, you would be motivated? I think I would. I think I would be motivated. I'd be motivated to do exactly what that person told me to do, because it would be clear that he has the authority, that he has the power, and that he is who he says he is. And that's why we have this picture, to help us to understand who Jesus is and what his role is, what his message is, and who we are in relationship to him. Does any one of us look like that? No, except for maybe the white hair part, you know, a few of us. But none of us look like Jesus looks, and that's because we're not him. Only he has this special appearance because he is the motivator. He motivates us to do his will. He writes to us through his apostles to give us instruction. Acts 2 and verse 42, there on the day of Pentecost, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Why did they do that? Because Jesus was motivating them to do that. His appearance awes us. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence or godly fear and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, 28 through 29. And his presence encourages us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts, who comforts us or encourages us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort or encouragement by which we ourselves are comforted by God. All encouragement, all comfort is in God through Jesus Christ. And as we see in Revelation 1, Jesus is the motivator, the encourager, the one who is going to help us do God's will within our life. By his voice, by his appearance, by his person, and by his will. But then, we see finally, Jesus is the initiator. He's the initiator. He gets things started, so to speak. And look, we all need to get things started in our lives, at every moment of our life. It's so easy to sit back and to do nothing, right? To be lazy, we call it, because it doesn't take any effort at all. But Jesus doesn't want us to be lazy. He wants us to get things started. And the thing that we need to get started within our life is change. Change to do his will. Change to live for him each and every day. Change to go out and to tell others about who Jesus is. Notice John's response to Jesus in verse 17 and let's read 17 through 20. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Jesus speaks to initiate action in us. John fell down as dead. But that's not what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted him to get up. He said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. Jesus helps us to overcome our fears so that we can do his will within our life. Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And Jesus said, I have the keys of Hades and of death. Based upon these things, John, I want you to start something for me. I want you to write. Write these things. What things? The things which you have seen, things about the past. The things which are, things about the present. and the things which will take place after this, things about the future. So you see, the book of Revelation has things about the past, things about the present, and things about the future, because that's what Jesus told John to write about in this book. Jesus begins the process of change within us, just as he is now beginning the process of change in the seven churches of Asia. And he writes to them to do what? To get them to repent of the things that are going wrong within their lives. He is the standard of perfection for mankind. And because of that, he can command us to do his will. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. What does it mean to have the preeminence? It means to be above all, so that one may then direct and command. That is who Jesus is. He has the preeminence. And he wants us to get started on making change within our lives. He has the keys of Hades and death, because he has overcome them. What does this mean? It means that there is nothing out there that we ought to fear when we seek to obey Jesus. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And listen to this part. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Even death is not going to overcome those who follow Jesus and who seek to live their lives based upon his will. But we must change to do that. We must obey to do that. We must get started. Jesus is the initiator, and he expects us to change and to repent and to be faithful to men, to him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Revelation 3 and verse 19. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. It means he's God. And as God, he is divine. And he commands. And he has authority. And we must then submit to his will. Who is he here in Revelation 1? He is the Revelator, the one who gives us the Word of God. He is the Uniter. He brings us together to God with his person, the High Priest. He is the Motivator. He encourages us to do his will by his voice, by his person. And he is the initiator. He begins the process of change by writing to us and confronting us so that we might repent of the sins that are in our life. Do you need to, this morning, respond to Jesus, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end? Why not do that this very hour by obeying his will, hearing his word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing him as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins? And let Jesus begin to work in your life. Let him initiate the change that needs to be started this morning. If you're a Christian and you've fallen away and you need to come back and you need Jesus to do that, let him motivate you this hour. Do you really want to stand before this one who has the flaming eyes, the sword coming out of his mouth, and all of that in the judgment? No. You don't want Jesus to judge you. You want Jesus to forgive you and save you. And so why not come back to him this hour and do so while we sing this song of invitation?